Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and thanks for joining us right here. If you think we're walking around here without hope, nope. We have hope, and it's not from dope. I'm telling you that. It's the real kind of hope in the Lord. And we're glad that you're listening and hope that something we say today could make a difference. I just read a letter from a lady. She said, I listen to you every day. You tell these people stuff, and so many of them are in a situation like mine, or I can apply what you're saying. And I love to hear that. Joining me today, Dr. Jill Hubbard, how you doing?
Hey, guys.
Hi, Jill.
Doing good. How are
you
guys?
And she's smiling, and Becky Brown is here. I've got
Hello,
two
everybody.
Powerful, wise women helping me out here, and boy, do I ever need that help. So let's just talk for a minute about some of the things that we've got coming up. November the 14th is a workshop that I wish every woman who has ever been betrayed, hurt by a man could go to, because it's called Restore. And you might be confused. You might think, oh, that's to help women restore their marriage. No, it isn't. Sometimes that does happen, and we always want restoration in marriage, but it's really about restoring you back to a place of, you could even say, sanity after the unimaginable has happened. And, you know, I just get so emotional when I speak to these ladies because, you know, I've been where they are, and it's a pain you cannot describe. And if you would like to avoid being one of those ladies, then send your guy to Every Man's Battle, November the 7th. And you might just say to him, hey, have you recently, since this virus, you could blame it on the virus, been struggling a little bit with what you're looking at online? And just be honest with me. And then a lot of guys that have, they'll, you know, you're not judging them. Have you had a little trouble here? And then he says, yes, I have. It's really interesting that you would say that. And then you say, well, look, why don't you just go get it taken care of? It's not going to hurt you to spend a Saturday on November the 7th at Every Man's Battle online. Could really, really change everything.
I think one of the best things that can come out of 2020 is if you make the decision to make a change in your life for the better. And our workshops give you that opportunity, and you don't have to go anywhere. It's safe. And it's the least, I don't want to say it's cheap because it's not cheap, but it costs less than ever because you're not having to travel and we're not having to get the hotels and all of that. But it's still really great work, and we're going to offer ongoing coaching calls following these workshops. It's you know, make the call today.
And it is less expensive in that you get a lot, right?
Yes.
If you were to pay for therapy for that many hours, it would be a lot more.
Right.
All right, 1-800-229-3000 is the phone number, and let's see if we can get start this call with Anna here on line two. Hi, Anna, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. Shreveport, Louisiana, KFLO. You guys have had your share of disasters and rough times.
Not too much.
Okay. I was wrong about that. So now that I've got you on, well, now that I've got you on, the music is playing. So just hold on, and we'll get to what we're going to get to right after this. Appreciate you calling from Shreveport that hasn't had that. You're listening to New Life Live. Glad that you are. Dr. Jill Hubbard, Becky Brown are here with me, and we really hope and pray that you're going to be in a better place after this. You know, so often we hang on to a thought, a feeling. We struggle with it, and God is right there just Say, come on, give it to me. Don't live with that. Don't carry that around. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Just give it to me. That's what we want you to do. We'll be back right after this for New Life Live.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Becky Brown, Anna, Shreveport, Louisiana, where the weather's really great, been great recently. Anna, how can we help you? What's going on with you and your weather?
Well, I'm calling about the call that aired today that was actually yesterday.
Okay. So, what was it?
This person's name is Lynn, and she called about a friend, so-called friend, who betrayed her. Mm-hmm. And your response was, why was this person so important, this so-called friend so important to her? Mm-hmm. And so I have a two-part question.
Okay.
Why is the church letting this person be so important? Okay. Why isn't the church implementing Matthew 18:15-18? And I know that Townsend and McLeod have addressed this in their book Boundaries, like mm-hmm. a small paragraph. But it just seems to me that if we're going to obey Christ, that the church, instead of putting it back on the person who is offended, is going to implement what Jesus said and take responsibility for these people, that the offenders.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing.
And call them what they are and call them heathen and then do what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. If they're adulterers, they don't need to be part of the church.
Anna, here's the thing. In that call, I don't think that lady was still going to church. But in your situation,
she was
suspect
going to the same church. And,
but I thought after that she left.
Satellite church.
Yeah, I thought that she left.
She said they were still going to the same church, same pastor, but different satellite churches.
So
the same pastor.
You sound really impassioned by this. So tell us what's going on with you that makes you want the church to do this.
I just can't find a pastor who will do that. I personally cannot find a pastor who will implement Matthew 18:15-18. The first one I went to, you know what he said?
What?
God, he said, you're expecting the church to do what only God could do. Okay, so I said, okay, well then I just need God, right? So then I went to the next pastor, you know what he said?
What did he say?
He said, it might run people off.
Uh-huh.
So they're obviously more concerned about numbers
than
they are restoring people's lives.
Right. So, Anna, how has this been a problem for you? Now, I understand what you're saying as far as you want the pastors, you want the church to stand up, but how has this affected you?
Well, she's going to them for something, and they're
that's
not doing
I'm,
it. What is the something that you're going to
them? Support? I'm getting no support, and I don't understand how much support.
What do you need support for?
Why do you need
to
the support?
Hold the offender accountable.
Well, who is the offender in your life?
Whoever offends. Let's just say it's ambiguous, okay? Because I don't want to bring my personal issues into this.
No, I totally. Well, you're kind of anonymous.
Any offender, betrayer, adulterer, any kind of offender.
Okay.
Serious offender. I'm not talking about somebody stepped on my toes or somebody didn't like my dress.
But you are saying
a serious offense.
You are saying that you have been offended, right? And that you want the church to help you.
Woe to those that offend, right? Are you saying woe to those that are offended?
Anna, let me just clarify something. I just want to be sure you're listening to us because we're listening to you. But you are saying that something happened to you that you wanted the church's help and you went to two and you didn't get that help, right?
Not just me. I see it happening over and over and over and over again.
But I just want you to clarify, you did have something that... Jill, go ahead.
Yeah, I think, Anna, you're right. I think there's a lot of times, and I think it also speaks to our culture, and a lot of times people don't want to get involved and they don't want to confront. So,
but why is the culture the way it is? Because the church is the way it is. Right? I mean, don't we set the standard for society?
Well wouldn't that be great?
That would be great. But a lot of times we are slow to catch up.
All right.
In actuality. So you're technically right, but it's also, you know, pastors aren't set up necessarily to, you know, like let's say in a marriage situation, a lot of times it's hard to know, like, because both people can often be the offenders, right? And so that's why, you know, an arm of the body.
We're not talking about both being adulterers. We're talking about both. We're both imperfect people.
What you're saying,
there is normally when there's an adulterer and a person that is left or abandoned in the marriage, there is one offender.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen some churches do that. I have seen some churches confront.
And I hear about that also.
I've heard of it. I haven't experienced it in my personal life, and everyone that I have counseled has not experienced that in their life.
Right, and I've also seen what you've seen.
Yeah. I want to suggest something to you. You ready? Here it comes. So I think whomever your main pastor is, that you should say to that person, I need some help.
You know what, I don't have one now, because they pretty much, you know, told me God is all I need. So God has been all I've needed.
Well,
you know, if they're not
is there,
supported, how can I submit to that?
So do you want us to help you, or did you just want to make that case that a lot of churches aren't doing Matthew 18?
I want you to help other people, not just me. I want the church and obey Matthew 18:15-18 and quit calling it legalism. Because it's not. Jesus said the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life.
Now here's what I want you to do.
If you'll just listen,
We want to help you, because I think you've been hurt very badly. And then when you went to the church with an expectant.
By the so-called church. I don't call them church anymore because...
I wrote an article for Outreach Magazine, which is the magazine most churches take, about secondary abuse. When you have a problem, and then if you go to the pastor, you feel rejected or judged, then now you've got two traumas to deal with. But here is what I want to suggest to you. But here is what I want to
see,
Anna, and I want to suggest something to you. I think you should go back to the first pastor that you went to. This is what I think would be the most helpful thing to do. Just say, you know, when we were together before, I was really wanting action, and I was wanting you to come alongside, and you said, you know, we just have to let God handle things. But here is something that I think you'd be willing to do. And that is to sit down with me and this person that's betrayed you, I'm assuming it's your husband, and say, would you just sit down with us and help us sort a few things out? Would you be willing to do that? Most pastors would be willing to do that. And I think that's the beginning point. Then, after that, who knows what the pastor might do. Now that he's involved, he might say, well, you know, we need to discipline this person, or we need whatever it is. But I really think you have to get them involved at a minimal level before they're going to do something really, really big in front of everybody.
I went to them more than once asking for help. Then I wrote them a 20-page letter.
Well, that, you know, it's hard for you.
At least he read it.
It's hard. I know it's hard for you in that hurt place to receive, and I'm sure that they were taken a little aback, but sometimes you go back and they've had a chance themselves to think about. They didn't like the way it went, and they might consider something.
And I'm going to take a different perspective. I agree with what you're saying, Steve. I also believe when Jesus was instructing the disciples to shake the dust from the sandals, you know,
I was just thinking that.
What did you say, Anna?
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, because here's what I want for you. I want healing and wholeness for you. I don't want that bitterness to take a root.
Yes, ma'am.
You're right. There are so many people in the church that are imperfect, and I know you know that. And I am sad, and I am sorry that we don't get it right. And we're all the church. All of us, body of believers, we're all the church. We come, you know, we go into different buildings with different names on them. But the body of Christ is all of us. And what I want to encourage you to do is look for truth. And at the same time, I want you to heal so that this big reaction gets healed for you. Whatever the story was that caused
my main reason for calling was on behalf of Lynn, because no one's standing up for her and they're putting it back on her. And I think that, you know, it's got to change. And I want to be that catalyst.
Well, you have been today, Anna. That's for sure.
You catapulted us in.
Well, here's the deal. Hurt people don't always hurt people. I've been hurt, but it makes me want to help people that
right.
are hurt.
Well, and you have it up close and personal.
I agree with that.
You have felt it, and when we feel something and God shows us something so clearly and we really see, you know, right and wrong as a Christian, you know, unfortunately, other people don't have that same vision. They haven't lived it or experienced it, and we as humans are weak, and we fall into doing what's socially acceptable, and it's hurtful. I'm so sorry that that's happened to you.
Well, I thank you just for validating me today and for hearing.
Well, I've experienced it too.
Well, and I think, Anna, you're speaking for a lot of people that are listening that may have had difficulties. You know, like I said before, it's an imperfect union, so to speak, you know, the church. But at the same time, God works, his mercy and his grace works through all of the imperfections. And there are so many people that are receiving hope through the churches. And so we still have to keep working ahead of time to see the best come out. We need to support our pastors and pray for our leadership.
Right, true. And Becky, something that you said, you know, we put a lot on our pastors, and we kind of, you know, we do expect a lot from them and them to be everything to everyone. But we all are the body of Christ. And sometimes our help comes from those that God has called to walk with us through a season. And those are the people that stand up for us versus someone that's more removed.
Right, right.
You know, 80% of senior pastors are introverts. And so they have a gift of standing in front of folks and speaking and having a vision for the church. But
they're many not of always them shepherds.
They don't get too excited about confrontation.
Well, and they haven't had training. Yeah. You know,
no, they
pastors
haven't.
Don't get counseling training unless they actually do the work themselves.
Right.
And yet, that's one of the biggest jobs that they have is to help people with their relational issues and brokenness. And, you know, a good pastor has a good referral list of great counselors in their area. So
yeah, that's that. And so do we.
Yeah, we have great counselors all across the country.
All right. So I'm going to send you a copy. Maybe we could send Shelley's workbook. What is her?
Rescued?
Rescued. Yeah, we'll send that to you. And I really believe if this was your husband that was unfaithful, boy, Restore would help you so, so much. And I wish this guy could go to every man's battle. That would be a big deal. But, Anna, I think all of us hear the hurt that you have, and that's fueling the anger, which, you know, I've seen some of the meanest, angry people.
She's a hero.
Yeah. But you're also wanting to stick up for others.
Exactly.
And that's great.
And we're celebrating that.
I have seen big, big men, very angry and belligerent, but when you get down to it, they're hurt. And I've said there's the father wound, where he's not there. There's the father wind, where he wound you up to be just like him. He trained you, and you just could never live up to it. Both of those. Pretty tough to deal with. We're going to take a break. Come right back for more New Life Live. Dr. Jill Hubbard, author of Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers, Becky Brown. What's the book?
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Becky Brown and Dr. Jill Hubbard and your phone call. Let's go over here and talk to Charlene from Dallas, Texas. We have a call center right there in Big D. Hi, Charlene. You listen on KWRD.
Hi.
How's it going? Well, how can we help you today?
Well, I'm calling in reference to a lady that you talked to last week who said that she had pharmaceutical experience and that she had suffered COVID and that people she told about how to deal with it, they rejected her. Well, I have a similar situation. And
really?
I, as a nurse of 50 years, I work with people even though I'm retired. You know, I mean, neighbors or friends or whomever, and they have all kinds of problems going on. And sometimes they even ask me to help them with some care. I give the advice, or I know what will work for them. And I'm not doing real treatment in the sense of a lot of hands-on, except some personal care maybe, or looking to see what meds they're on or what foods.
Okay.
But when I do this, they just don't accept it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot
so,
of times
so,
they...
Yeah. So, occupational hazard right there.
Yeah.
What is the question for us then, Charlene?
Well, how do I get over that, and do I just walk away from it and not say anything when I see something going on, or I just feel so depressed about it and ongoing.
Yeah.
The depression is terrible.
So, how long? Oh, go ahead, Jill.
Charlene, here's one thing about advice. Even when people ask advice, how they're making use of us is often to be able to make up their own minds, right? So sometimes a person will ask advice and they'll do the opposite. It doesn't mean you weren't helpful. You just helped them to know their own mind.
Yeah.
Right? And so there's part of giving advice to someone where you have to de-invest in the outcome. It's their life, it's their choice, and they're not always going to follow you. But it doesn't mean you weren't helpful and they didn't need your input. And so I think there needs to be a shift in how you look at it. I'm hearing that you take it personal. You've got this good information, you're trying to help them, and you know, based on your experience, that if they did that, they might get a positive outcome, right? But that's part of their journey that they have to figure out.
Well, and it's kind of like you said you're retired, Charlene, but you really haven't. You're just
right.
Operating.
You're just not getting paid.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Well, because I've been a therapist forever, and yet I'm not practicing anymore. So if I did the same thing that you're doing, I probably wouldn't have any friends left. You know, but what I want to encourage you, though, Charlene, is I want you to find a way to use your talents in a way that doesn't involve friends, family, and neighbors. Maybe volunteer
idea.
At a local place where, you know, you obviously have a lot to give still. And I think it will help you kind of rein in, you know, the unwanted. I loved what you said, Steve. You said occupational hazard, because it literally is. It's like, you know, you're a nurse. It's to who you are to the core, but not everybody wants to be nursed.
Well, I'll tell you, Charlene, I to give advice and then not have it followed really can be hurtful. And that happens so much to me. I have a 14-year-old. And so he's doing a little differentiating from old dad, and so
which is normal.
Doesn't that feel good, Steve?
Not fun. So I know what this feels like, and you know, here's the thing: you're talking about giving someone advice, and you know they don't follow it, and that's hurtful to you. And then we just had a caller who, I guess, was betrayed, and that person isn't coming back to say, okay, I'm sorry, and nobody's right. helping her. And so that's why we talk about, and I said this when I spoke with the women at Restore. I said, your husband has a job to do, and that is to establish sexual integrity, but you have been given a job. You didn't ask for it. It's not fair, and your job could be even tougher, because boy, does he ever have a lot of support around him, guys that have done what he's done and then found hope and help. Your job is to forgive the man that hurt you worse than anything has ever hurt in your life. And I'll tell you, I was in that place, and it is not easy, but I am free. I do not hold a grudge. It wasn't easy. So Charlene, in these cases, I just think you ought to have a little exercise or something, and just, you know, raise your hands up when you think about them and just give them to God.
Yes.
Okay, God,
yes.
That I did my best here. Thanks for letting me have an influence. And, you know, some people, they hear your advice, they try to prove it isn't necessarily true for them, then they take your advice. I try to tell my 14-year-old, Solomon, I've done the research. You don't have to do it on this. And then he goes out and does the research. So it's just part of life. All right, I'm going to send you a Restoration Bible, Charlene, and I think you're going to love this Bible. You know, when somebody emails me at stevesocial@newlife.com, gives me the address, I send them a free Restoration Bible. I pay the shipping, and I pay for, they gave me the Bible to give away. I didn't pay for it. So, but we'll mail it to you. stevesocial@newlife.com. We'll be back right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the Transformation Welcome Gift, which includes a personal-sized Life Recovery Bible, a Life Recovery Journal, and 5 Life Recovery Workbooks. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that it, not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and I've added a person to that. Larry Sonnenberg is here. Hey, Larry, how are you today?
Hey, Steve, doing good, thanks.
Well, what do you have for us today, Larry?
Well, I got so much I want to say, but I'll eliminate 80% of it anyway. I keep files of testimonies, and I was looking at a page, and I love this page because when we seek your support, folks, we're seeking it to help people. We're not seeking it for indirectly paying bills, but the real issue is we're paying those bills because we want people to experience that life change that only God can do, and we want to set the stage for that and let the Holy Spirit come in and do the work. But these were just little one-liners. I had no idea New Life was doing so many things. New Life are doers. A lot of ministry groups claim to get involved. New Life rolls up their sleeves and gets the job done. New Life is the dirty jobs of ministry. I see great things ahead for New Life. I'm excited to introduce this ministry to my friends. I had no idea so much ministry goes on here. So I just want to encourage folks to be, you know, thinking about those. I love having a reputation like that. This lifted my day, you know, to just stop and remember and think what people realize what we do.
Yep.
So if you can support us, we want to help more people, and we need to continue this another 30, 40, 50 years and then some.
You know, we're not raising money to have a private jet. I have to beg to upgrade my car rental from the Yugo or whatever it is. But, so we're doing the best we can. And we don't have any building we're going to build. It's just all about the ministry. We've got the foundation. And the more you can support us, the more we're going to reach out to people. And we need everybody doing it. If you join Club New Life, you get a library of great books. I'll send you the calendar. Gift of any amount. A gift of any amount really does help us, whatever the amount is. So please pray about it. And I just hope and pray that you'll support us by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Larry, final word?
Consider Club New Life, folks. That's such an important group of people for so many reasons. And if you would just consider $30 or more a month, all kinds of benefits, great thank you gift, we would appreciate that. And lastly, thank you everybody who has been giving and is currently gives. We can't do it without you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. All right, thanks, Larry. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us or you need help, we're going to be there. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's go to Clio, Cincinnati, Ohio, just up the road there. WCVX is the station. Hi, Clio. How are you today? What's going on?
Well, I'm good. But I heard I heard one of your ads for 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Yeah,
and I'm a practicing beer drinker, alcoholic beer drinker.
How's it going?
And I would just like to be. Well, unfortunately, I'm a capable and functioning alcoholic, which. In my mind, I know it's wrong, but as long as I'm functioning, I'm able to justify drinking beer and going to church, you know, three, four times a week or whatever, you know, the same church.
Yeah.
I just feel like I lead a double life.
Yeah. Okay, quick question. Duplicity is not fun. How much can, like on a Saturday, you're drinking beer, how much can you drink in a Saturday?
I can drink a 30-pack on a Saturday.
Okay. See, now, I had an uncle, he just drank 24 beers, but you can go to 30. So here's the deal, Cleo. You have an extreme limitation, just like I do. I don't drink anymore. And I'm free from any obsession or compulsion that relates to that or something else. And the first start is to understand not everybody can drink like you. Most people don't have the kind of metabolism you do. When they drink, here's what happens if they drink a little too much. They get so intoxicated and embarrassed that they don't drink that much again. Or they fall asleep. Or they get sick. But you've probably had people commend you on how much alcohol you could have. And here's the thing. People are mistaken when they say, well, you could be an alcoholic on a glass of wine. No, you can't. Now, you could be a problem drinker, get drunk on a glass of wine, but you go see a counselor, and you're not going to need to have that glass of wine. But an alcoholic is like you. You drink so much that your body gets addicted to it. You may not know that it's addicted, but you are just sustaining your addiction. And you drink because your body's craving it. You don't even know that's a craving. But that's why you're drinking 30 beers on a Saturday. And only an alcoholic can drink that much beer. And when you drink that much beer, you're going to be addicted to the chemical alcohol, officially addicted. And then your body isn't able to metabolize. Your liver can't metabolize that much alcohol. So acetaldehyde backs up in your system and makes a toxic brain to where you can't even think correctly. And it gets worse the older. How old are you? It gets worse the older you get.
I'm 45.
Okay. See, so you're young. Now's the time. All you got to do is say, I can't say I'm sorry enough to fix this. I can't feel bad enough to fix this or power down or get spiritual enough. I literally have to do what every alcoholic that I've ever known does, and that is I have to go to meetings. I have to get help. I have to submit myself to a system that I just never dreamed I'd have to. And I got to tell you, I never dreamed I'd have to either. But it's one of the greatest things ever. You go from hating yourself to loving life and seeing how God can use you. But don't make yourself sicker and sicker, because the older you get, the worse it's going to get. More damage to you. And I just hope and pray that you could let us help you find the help you need. At 30 beers, you probably need to go into treatment and have them detox you. You know, Bill W., when he came in, he was given some alcohol to get him down off the alcohol. But it's not a spiritual problem. It's not a psychological problem. Actually, what it is, it's a physiological problem, addiction. And you got to drink a lot of beer to get addicted. It has psychological symptoms, and it has a spiritual solution. But the spiritual solution isn't in and of yourself trying harder to be spiritual. It comes from cleaning a bunch of stuff up, getting it out of the way, so God can really do some work. It begins with surrender.
Cleo, yeah. Does anybody know this besides you?
My wife and kids. And my friends, my family.
Have they been talking to you about this as a problem?
My wife let it go because I'm functioning, and I'm not abusive in any way.
So you
but
called
I
us.
I recognize it as a problem.
Okay, and so you called us today because you want to do something about it?
Absolutely.
So what do you think about what Steve just said? What he just described?
I agree. He made it plain and simple.
Yeah.
Where at the point at the amount that I'm drinking, I've changed my thought pattern because of the amount that I drink.
Yeah, right.
And besides the recreational part of it, though, Cleo, do you know what's at the base of this? Like, is it family?
I think in the beginning it was just for fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I see so often. Yeah.
Then went through a couple hardships.
Mm-hmm.
And then I seen those people that pop a beer, like my brother. He would pop a beer 6-7 in the morning. I'm like, I'll never be like that. And then several years later, I'm that person.
Yeah, you wait till 7 so that you can say I'm not like that. Right. I'll tell you.
No, 7 in the morning.
I know what you're saying. 6 a.m. But you just alter the time a little bit, and then you're not like that. Hold on, I want to help you, and I think we can, and I think it's kind of God's intervention into your life that you called the right place, because you could have called someone else and they wouldn't care how much you drank, and then you get the idea, maybe I can get spiritual enough that I won't have a problem anymore.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, and I'm just so glad that Cleo has called us. From what I guess, Cleo, you don't listen to us regularly, but you heard an ad about us. Is that right?
No, I listen to 1160 when I'm in my car.
Okay.
And I'll transfer in between, some of the Christian music stations.
Yeah, okay. Now listen to this.
That's not on 1160 I want to listen to.
Here we are. We're talking to you, Cleo. You're listening to Christian radio. You're going to church. You're a good guy. You're, mm-hmm. None of the bad stuff has shown up yet. But it does eventually show up because the body starts to break down and the brain doesn't function the same. And then you start doing stuff you never thought you would ever do. You become enraged and you can't believe it. You become not just depressed, but in deep despair. And boy, do you get so afraid. All of the emotions, we call it emotional augmentation that's caused by all that stuff that's backing up mm-hmm. in there. Because you cannot detoxify. Your liver can't do 30 beers in a day. So I think it's kind of a miraculous thing that you called here. Because mm-hmm. you could have called a place and they really not know anything about alcoholism and tell you, well, just go to church more and all that. But that's not going to help you. You're going to have to stop drinking. And you're going to have to be willing to do whatever it takes to stop drinking. You have awareness of your problem. You desire that it change. But so far, you haven't been willing to do what every alcoholic I've ever known has done to get sober and get better, and that is to get into a recovery meeting soon.
And Cleo, you say you're functioning. That really has not been serving you well because it's been masking the problem, right? You can, in a sense, get away with it, but you don't even know what life would be like.
No.
On the, you know, without the alcohol kind of sustaining you.
Right.
Right? I mean, you may call this functioning, but you probably don't really know what it's like to truly function well. Does that make sense?
Yes, in a sense it does.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife has made it very apparent, really clear, that I do have a problem, but I'm not mean. I don't.
But is that the standard?
I'm not mean to our kids. I'm not abusive.
Yeah, I get that. But is that the standard? How about the fact that when you're drinking, there becomes a disconnect? People can't be as close to you because that's in between, because they're really relating to an intoxicated you, or are you under the influence?
Yeah. See, Cleo, you're in control.
Okay, good.
You're in control, but you're missing the dad you could be. Now, how old are your kids?
Well, I kind of started over. I have a 20 and a 16-year-old, or 21 and a 17-year-old with my ex-wife, and that was one of the problems I had said that I had in the past that stemmed into this alcoholism problem.
Right, and you have kids
but
with this wife?
I have an 8-year-old stepdaughter, or 9-year-old stepdaughter, and a just turned 5-year-old last week, and a girl, and then a 3-year-old boy. And the 3-year-old boy copycats me, and if I ask him to get me a beer, he brings me two.
Okay,
and
so
I recognize that as a problem.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's, can you imagine if you had in your quiver for when they get in trouble and need help to be able to say to them, hey, look, I had a problem, I took care of it, and life changed dramatically for me. And you'll just be an amazing guy because recovery is a character-building program. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible, and I'll send you a workbook that goes with it, and I'm going to send you this little book, Take Your Life Back. And I'm hoping and praying that's going to help. Now, I'm going to send you the Life Recovery Journey because you're a spiritual guy. It's got Bible studies in there. But if you're not willing to go to a meeting and let some people speak into your life, it's just not going
to
help.
I just want to challenge you, Cleo, to go to a meeting today.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you know how to find them?
I actually quit drinking for about a month, and I started going to a meeting kind of locally, more towards Cincinnati, but still on the Kentucky side.
Mm-hmm.
But a week after I started going to the meetings, COVID hit.
Hmm.
And they shut their meetings down.
But they're doing online meetings. They are. I was at a meeting last night, and they're doing them all across the world. Don't let that be your excuse.
Okay, and so here's the other thing.
Okay.
Now that you know meetings aren't enough, so if you go to a meeting, even online, you can get a sponsor. You need a sponsor, and you need to start working the steps, not just going to the meeting. And that's when everything changes, when you start working the steps. It really does. And you
Cleo,
will
call
never
us back.
Regret. Yeah, please.
Call us back after 60 days. Let's see let's see where you're at. We're just going to hold you accountable to, you know, check in with us.
When I hear stories like this, I always wonder if God has preserved and the consequences aren't there because God has something really special mm-hmm. for a guy like this.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't drink that much beer and maintain a solid spiritual relationship mm-hmm. with God. Mm-hmm. Your brain doesn't function well. Your body starts to break
right.
down. So,
and pray for Cleo.
Yeah.
Everybody pray for Cleo as you think about. And maybe you're having an issue with your own drinking. COVID has brought this out in a lot of people. You know, mm-hmm. we were just talking about how meetings aren't happening because of COVID, but there's a lot of drinking that's happening because of COVID.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, there's better ways to cope with life than just covering it up with alcohol, and we can help you find help.
Well, we spent a lot of time with Cleo, and I'm glad that we could, and I hope something that we said there, and you know, Cleo, every day, 11 o'clock NRB Network there, and you can see all the stuff that we do on YouTube. We have a channel, the New Life channel on YouTube. You can see it there, Facebook Live. We have a presence, but 11 a.m. on the NRB Network on your television, it is Life Recovery Today with Stephen Arterburn. I haven't mentioned it in a long time, but there are over 3 million Life Recovery Bibles out there because alcoholics love getting to integrate the Scripture into their recovery program, and that's what the Life Recovery Bible does. If you need help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and if you can help us, it is exactly the same number. Every Man's Battle is November the 7th, and then Restore for any woman who's been betrayed by a man, that's going to be November 14th. December 5 is our big, bountiful, amazing Brains, Boundaries, Battles in the Bible. Dr. Daniel Amen, Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, and then Sheila Walsh and myself, we're going to transform some lives, because what are we going to do? What the Bible says in Romans 12, too. We're going to change the way you think, and it'll change everything. My thanks to Dr. Jill Hubbard, Becky Brown. Thanks to you. Thanks to all of you who listen and watch and pray for us and support us. I pray God's blessing upon you and His divine hand of protection. We will see you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.